Amen. Beautiful song. Thank you. Great. All right, take your Bibles, go back to 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. And you've been waiting on this verse, as this is the month where the theme has been a time for Thanksgiving all month. With our theme of the year, for such a time as this, we've talked about a time for Thanksgiving. And covered the topic a lot, and yet there's so much more we could cover. And we've talked about the thanks of Thanksgiving, and that is, there's so much to be thankful for. Talked about the testimonies of Thanksgiving and had a lot of extra testimonies. That's been a blessing on Wednesday nights, and just passed the microphone around. And we will do that again this Wednesday, so I hope you'll be here. The tributes of Thanksgiving, did that on Veterans Day. Talked about those who deserve our thanks. And, of course, the Lord deserves our thanks. But have you ever thought, there are people all around that we need to be thankful for. And on Veterans Day, we talked about the soldier. And we talked about our senior citizens and saints of the Lord. And praise the Lord for them, our servants. And then, of course, our Savior. Then we had the thanklessness of Thanksgiving, and certainly there is a lot of that where people just ignore Thanksgiving in all and not thankful to the Lord for what He's done. Talked about the thinking of Thanksgiving, and that is to be content. Temptation of Thanksgiving, that was kind of interesting last Sunday night, where we focus on the blessing and we forget about the blessor. And that is a temptation at Thanksgiving where we ignore God. But we're certainly, we look at all the things that we have received from Him, but we ignore Him. And then today I am going to close out as far as the Sunday messages with the morning and evening and talk about the task of Thanksgiving, the task of Thanksgiving. And Father, I pray that You'll bless the preaching. I do thank You so much for all the folks that are here today, the many, many visitors. Thank You for the bus workers that went out and visited their routes and very, very busy in a cold day yesterday. And yet, thank You for so many visitors, not just in the auditorium, but in our junior churches as well. And so I pray You'll help us now to get across the Word of God with power, where if someone here is not saved, they don't know You as Savior, as the song was just sung about, I pray, God, that that they'll get to know You, they'll be saved when they leave this place, and that You'll speak to our hearts today in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, this subject, even though it is just one verse that we're talking about this morning, it is so broad, the task of Thanksgiving. And this maybe is one of the toughest verses in all the Bible to obey. Honestly, it is, because and yet it is so crucial, because it said this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It is the will of God. I don't know how many times, I suppose, Brother Korea, in all the counseling I do, much of the counseling involves what is the will of God for my life. And many times a young person, as they're getting older, they want to know about going to college and what to do and a mate and all those kind of things. And they're seeking the will of God for their life. And probably most of the counseling that I have done over the years of being a pastor concerns the will of God. Well, here, the reason this verse is so important to us, it is very clear. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, every one of us. This is, I mean, we talk about the will of God and, you know, God writing a message across the sky, maybe the stars falling in words and all that kind of stuff. And now I know the will of God. Well, no, usually it doesn't happen that way. But here is no mystery, all right? There's no trying to figure it out. There's no having to, calculate everything. This is the will of God. Well, what? What's the will of God? Well, the will of God, that in everything, give thanks. Amen. You say, well, yeah, that's pretty easy. I mean, I think I can, well, the hardest part of that verse is those two words, in everything. Amen. And that's where we have our trouble, honestly, because we can, I mean, we're going to sit down and most will have this great big meal on Thursday, way too much food. How many of you agree it's usually too much? All right, but you like it anyway, right? Yeah, amen. But But we're going to have all this food. We're going to have, the days off. We're going to have, what's Friday, the big day, Black Friday, where you can get all these deals. And some of you, I've already heard of several people that'll stay up all night Thursday night and wow. Anyway, but you'll say, wow, boy, I've had a great couple of days. I'm sure thankful. But understand, we have folks in the room today who are dealing with cancer. And we have folks that are dealing with financial problems. And we have folks dealing with relationship problems. And we have folks dealing with different needs and different things in their life that are tough. Work problems, employment, insurance. We have people dealing with all kinds. And you know, that verse is true for the guy that's going to have a great meal on Thursday and a guy who just got a raise on his job. And that verse is true for the one that just went to the doctor and the doctor says, I am amazed. You are perfectly healthy. Nobody's heard that, have you? But it's also true for that person whose life is in the valley. It's also true for that person who is waiting to hear about what the doctor says. It's also true for that person who just got laid off, or that person that just lost their job, that person who is having relationship problems at home. It's true for every one of us. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God. And so I've called this the task of thanksgiving. It's simply, how can I obey that? How can I do it? It is for all of you, it says. That means it's all of us. And it is one of the hardest verses to obey because of those two words, in everything. That means in good times. That means on a mountaintop. That means when I get a pay raise. That means when everything's going my way. But in everything, that means when things aren't going my way. In everything, give thanks. And the task of thanksgiving, I'm going to give you three things between this morning and tonight. And I think these three things will help us to perform this task at Thanksgiving. Again, if we open our hearts, if we do as Brother Tim said, you know, pray and ask God to speak to your heart. Ask God to help you to obey this verse. Okay, if you can't obey any other verse in the Bible, here's one we know beyond a shadow of a doubt. This is the will of God. Here's three things that will help you to be able to obey. Number one is the right attitude. Number two is the right atmosphere. Number three is the right action. And it's going to take this morning and tonight to get these across. Attitude, atmosphere, and action, so that I can do what God said and I can obey this and I can give thanks and everything. In other words, if it starts snowing this afternoon, I can praise the Lord. Amen. You know, now personally, I'd rather it not, but I can still thank the Lord. And I've been practicing this month because we've been focused so much on it. You know, there's certain kinds of weather. I like 70 degrees, personally. And I think it ought to be 70 degrees every day for the rest of eternity. Amen? But it's not going to be, and I know that. But you have to have the right attitude. So let's start with that. Number one, the right attitude. Okay, last Sunday morning, I preached on the thinking of Thanksgiving, and that is to be content with what things that we have, with whatsoever things we have, therewith to be content. And so if you have it, be content with it. Now, that doesn't mean that on the job we shouldn't try to, go for promotions when they're offered and stuff like that. We're supposed to do all to the glory of God. But the point is that we're not going to gripe and complain when things don't go our way. We're going to accept the will of God. In other words, if it's raining, we are going to stop. And before we get all bent out of shape at the rain and call it names and get mad at the clouds because they're dark, we're going to say, you know, God is the one that allowed it to rain. He has allowed it. Has God ever let it rain on your picnic? Yes. All right. Has God ever let the ants get in your picnic? Yes. Well, understand. There. Again, we get to a place where we simply accept the will of God. That was to be content. We talked about that. But I want to be a little more specific this morning with having the right attitude. And I remember the Patch the Pirate song, The Gratitude Attitude. How many of you know, you remember that song? All right. Several folks do. And I remember when that came out, I thought, that is such a good song. The gratitude. In other words, it's having an attitude of gratitude. Now, how do we get that? Because we're growing up in an environment where, we all think we deserve this and this and this. And it becomes very hard to be thankful because we think we deserve all these things. We've grown up where we're being conditioned to think, you owe me this, you owe me this, you owe me this, you owe me this. And if I don't get that, I'm not going to be happy about this. So we have to get our attitude straightened out. Let's go to Luke chapter 7. By the way, whenever we start to think that people owe us everything and that we deserve everything, do you understand? It's not very long and that bleeds over into our relationship with God. I mean, it doesn't take very long where we start to think that, hey, God has done me wrong because I didn't get this. God has done me wrong because I have this health problem. God is not fair because he took my loved one. God has not been fair to me because I lost my job. God has not been fair to me because I don't have the things that other people have. You understand that the more we think about those kinds of things, the more we are not content with what's going on. And so let's find out how to get this gratitude attitude. Luke 7 and verse 40 is a familiar passage of Scripture. And I just call it the parable of two debtors. And it says here, now watch it here in verse 40. Jesus answering said unto him, we'll talk a little bit about the story in a minute. Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. Now, that is a great, great story in the Bible. Now, why is Jesus telling this story? Why does he give this parable about these two debtors? Well, it's because of what had just taken place. Jesus has gone to the home of a Pharisee named Simon. Now, a Pharisee is a religious person, a religious leader. This guy, Simon, would go to church. This guy, Simon, would put money in the offering plate. This guy, Simon, might be a leader in the church and help with all kinds of things. This Simon has invited Jesus to his home. Verse 36, one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city. Now, here's the other person. A woman in the city, the Bible says, which was a sinner. Now, here's the thing. Our Bible tells us we're all sinners. But when the Bible records this woman being a sinner, more than likely, whatever she's done, everybody knows it. Everybody knows it. And you'll see why I say that here in a minute. So here's this woman comes in. She is a sinner, all right? And everybody knows it. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. And now when the Pharisee, now, so she's doing all this and the Pharisee, Simon, when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself. Now what's that mean? Inside, he's thinking this. Inside, he's upset, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And all she's doing is saying, Jesus, I love thee. Jesus, I worship thee. That's what she's doing by her actions. I'm thankful to thee, Lord. And the Pharisees all been out of shape. Now, Jesus then gives his parable of two debtors, all right? And I want to break that down for you today, just real quick, and try to give you, I'm going to give you three things about this little story, and they're very, very, very simple. And these things, really, honestly, will give us the right attitude if we'll look at it and we'll pay attention to it. Number one, the first thing under the right attitude here is the responsibility, okay? Here we have two debtors. Now, it's very interesting because I love Jesus' parables because really Simon has no idea what he's come up against here. He doesn't understand, you know. I mean, this woman is, there is no question about it, the woman is a sinner, everybody knows. I don't know what she did. I don't know if she's a prostitute. The Bible does not say what she did, but there's no question about it, she's a sinner. But Jesus talks about two debtors. And this is what I love about the story. Two people have a debt, okay, in his story. No doubt, it's obvious who one of those debtors was in his story. Isn't that obvious? The woman. No doubt about it. I mean, no doubt. In fact, I think we probably could attach to the woman. Notice in verse 41, there's one debtor owes 500 pence and the other 50. Okay? So we know one owes 500, but the other one only owes 50. Well, that's 10 times less. I mean, that's, wow. I mean, that's just, So here's 500. Let's say in Jesus' story, he's referring to that sinful woman as the one who owes 500. Can we all agree on that? I think we do. All right, very good. And if you don't, well, go along with it anyway. Amen. So we have one pretty much identified, okay? The woman, she owes 500 pence. She is a wicked, as it says, a wicked sinner. But here's the thing that's amazing and what Jesus points out in verse 44. After he talks about this, in verse 44, he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, oh, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me, ooh. All of a sudden, Simon realizes, wait a minute, what? You're talking about me. Me? Yeah, Simon. Simon, you're the other sinner. You're the other debtor here. I mean, the woman, let's admit, she owes 500 pence. She owes that. She's definitely represented well because she's a wicked sinner. But Simon, you're represented by the guy that owes 50. Please understand, folks, we're all in one of those categories. And I'm going to show you it doesn't really matter. It does not really matter. It doesn't matter who you are here today, okay? You say, preacher, you don't understand. I've done a lot of bad stuff. Okay, well, fine. You owe 500 pence then. Or you're here today and say, you know what? I've never gone to jail. I've never done anything too bad. I kind of grew up in church and everything. Well, then, okay, fine. But you're not perfect because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So let's say you owe 50. Amen? Would you agree? You're either a 500 or a 50 here today. That's it. That's all of us. Okay? Now, don't start pointing to people. He's obviously. We don't do that, all right? It doesn't matter. I'm going to show you it doesn't even matter. And by the way, it doesn't matter how you're dressed. You know, if you're wearing a tie today, you may owe 500. It doesn't matter, you know? It doesn't matter how you came to church today, okay? There are some folks that drove a nice car, and they're the 500 category. Amen. Doesn't matter. Simon is sitting here. He's saying, oh, this woman's a sinner. Simon, I want to explain something to you. You both owe. You both owe. One owes 500, one owes 50. Are we all together on this? Okay, it's just a simple parable. There's a responsibility, okay? And so the wicked woman is one sinner. She owes 500. We'll say that. And the other Jesus refers to is Simon the Pharisee. He is a religious man. He is a squeaky clean man. He is a tithing man, I would assume. He is a servant in the church kind of a man. Wow. I mean, he's squeaky clean. And so he owes 50 pence. The wicked, wicked sinner woman, she owes 500 pence. But here's point number one. This is going to help your attitude, all right? Key is this. They both have a debt responsibility. They both owe something. Okay, whether you owe 50, you owe. Whether you owe 500, you owe. Are we in agreement? 50 or 500, either way. Let me make this statement. There is no such thing as a good sinner. I've never murdered anybody. Have you ever lied? Well, yeah. Well, I've never robbed a bank. Have you ever gossiped? Well, yeah. No such thing as a good sinner. No such thing. Any sin, every sin, is against God Almighty. And every sin, and any sin, is what put Jesus Christ on a cross to die. Okay, so the first thing, the responsibility. Second thing, and this is the key right here, all right? Seriously, this is the key. The realization. Okay, you got to realize something. Simon, we're trying to get a hold of you, Simon. I want you to get it, Simon. You both owe a debt. It's your debt. Okay, Simon, whatever sins you've committed. Well, I'm not as bad as hurt. Doesn't matter. Yeah, but I haven't done the wicked thing. Doesn't matter. Yeah, but nobody out here knows about it. Doesn't matter. He knows. Okay, Simon, listen. It's your debt. Sinful woman, it's your debt. Okay, you have this debt. Whether it's 50, one owes 500, one owes 50. But they are now equal because they both owe a debt. They're equal. And here's what really makes them equal here, because verse 42 says this, and it's very clear. And when they had nothing to pay. Now, how much is nothing? Okay, if you have nothing to pay, are you in debt? Is your debt worse? If you have nothing to pay, if you owe 50 or you owe 500? Doesn't matter, does it? Okay, so here's somebody that owes 500. Really? Wow, that's going to be tough to pay. How much do you have? Nothing. Oh, well, how much do you owe? Well, I owe 50. Oh, that shouldn't be that bad. How much do you have? Nothing. Huh. I guess 50 or 5, it doesn't really matter when you have nothing. Bible's very, very clear in Jesus' parable, very clear. Neither of them had a dime, not a penny. They had nothing to pay. Okay? Now, if you can realize this, all right? You say, oh, I've done a whole lot of wicked stuff. I've done bad stuff. I've gone to jail. I've gone to prison. I've been wicked. I'm like that woman, the wicked, 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 and another wicked. I'm a wicked sinner. Really? Wow, how are you going to get to heaven? I have nothing to pay. I don't have any way to get it. I have nothing to pay. Can you pay that debt? I can't pay it. There's nothing I can do. I have nothing. And over here is Simon. He's saying, see, wicked, wicked. Wait. Well, Simon, I have a question for you. Have you ever sinned? Well, you know, when I was little, I told a lie. And, you know, I a couple times, I've watched some things I shouldn't. I've thought a few bad things. Yeah, you know, I suppose I've sinned a few times. Well, Simon, just out of curiosity, you have some debt yourself then, and yeah, but I'm not as bad as her. Yeah, but how will you pay that debt? Oh, well, I have nothing to pay. Oh. So how are you different than her? Now that's the whole idea, right? Realize it. Here's the thing. You know what we are right here? We're all sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And guess what? None of us can pay it. How do I pay for my sin? Well, you have to go to hell. That's the only way. And it's never paid because hell is eternal. So could we all agree that we have nothing to pay? At the age of 17, I realized that I owed a debt that I could not pay. I realize, by the way, does it matter if it's 500 or does it matter if it's 500,000? Or does it matter if it's five? If you can't pay, you can't pay. You have to realize that. God, I'm so mad at... Why would you be mad at God? He's not the one who made the debt. You did. I did. We shouldn't be mad at God. Nobody should ever be mad at God. Somebody will say to me, well, you know, I just can't believe a loving God would send people to hell. God doesn't send people to hell. People bring it on themselves with sin and that debt. God's the one that provided a way so you because you can't pay the debt. But realization, they both had a debt and they both had nothing to pay. Neither could pay. There is no pride at all in this, is there? Brother Carpenter, we have nothing to brag about, do we? There's nothing to brag about. There's no pride. Well, look what I've done. No, yeah, you've accumulated a debt you can't pay. That's what you did. You know, well, see what I've done with my life? Yes, I see what you've done with your life. You have accumulated debt that you are not able to pay. Whether it's 50 or whether it's 500 or whether it's one, doesn't matter. You can't pay it. Now you need to realize it because there's no pride in it. Both fall short. Now this gal over here, 500 pence, this wicked woman, she realizes it, doesn't she? Isn't it obvious? Oh God, please forgive me. Oh God. I mean, it's so obvious. She's figured it out. She realizes, I have a debt I can't pay. Simon, I can see him stroking his beard, pondering. You know, are you pondering today? I hope you will. By the way, that 500 could be 500,000. You say, I'm the most wicked person on the face of this earth. Isn't it wonderful to know that Jesus died on a cross for you? And isn't it wonderful to know that if you're the most wicked person on the face of this earth, there's somebody in here that's not a real wicked person, but they're just as equal to you as anybody. There's nobody any better than anybody here. There's nobody any better than anybody all on this property. And some came in on a bus, and some drove a very expensive car, and some might have walked. It doesn't even matter. You know what? We're all the same. Isn't that great? And the realization of that, both fall short. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you may be over here on the Simon side and say, yeah, but I haven't done what she... Yeah, but you've done what you did.
That's right.
Yeah, but she's wicked. Yeah, but you're a sinner. Yeah, but everybody knows about her. Yeah, but God knows about you. The best realization in the world is to come to the place where you realize, I have no way to pay my debt. I'm going to tell you, this right here, it could change your life because it's an attitude. I can't pay my debt. I can go to hell for eternity. That is the punishment. The wages of sin is death. And I can go to hell for all eternity, but my debt won't be paid. I'll be in hell. It'll never be paid. I cannot pay my debt. And I'd burn in hell for eternity. Whew. It's my sin, my debt, my inability, my punishment. It's what I deserve. Change your life. It'll change your life. Christian, you're saved. You're already a Christian, but you haven't even thought about that in years. We walk around, what about my rights? What about what I want? What about my will? And we've forgotten that it was our sin that had to be paid. It's our sin. It's our debt. It's our inability. It's our punishment. It's what we deserve. Number one, the responsibility. Number two, the realization. Number three is the response. And the response is so good. Verse 42 says this, and when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. He forgave them both. Isn't that awesome? It's just amazing. Both had a debt, both had no way to pay it, and both were forgiven. I mean, they were in the same exact position. She owed 500, he owed 50. But neither of them had a dime. And so he forgave both of them. Your debt is gone. Your 500 pence debt is gone. Your 50 pence debt is gone. He forgave them both. And so the question is asked, tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Most. Which of them will love him most? In other words, which one's going to be the most thankful? Which one's going to feel like they just have to show gratitude every day? They know they can't pay it back. They're not asked to pay it back. Which of them will love him? Please get this. Stay with me now, all right? Because we're on the back page. Wow. Hey, listen, listen. Which of them will love him most? And then it says in verse 43, Simon, I can see him stroking his little goatee. I don't know if he really has one or not, but in my mind I see him really pondering this thing, because a Pharisee wouldn't be a dummy. You know, he's pretty smart. I can see him. Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. Simon, you figured it out. The one who had the most forgiven. Now here, right here. Here's how you deal with in everything give thanks. Here's the task right here. Let me ask you a question. Isn't, now just think, all right? This is the thinking moment right here. Ding. All right? Isn't most, wouldn't that be all? Wouldn't all be most? Come on, stay with me now. All. Okay, over here. 500 pence I owe. It's all forgiven? All? Yeah. Wait a minute. 500 pence, it's going to send me to hell. All? It's all forgiven. Yeah. Amen. Isn't that most? Most would be all, right? Wait a minute. 50 pence is all I owe, and it's all? Aren't both of them? Isn't all of it forgiven? Amen. All. All is most. Wait a minute. Why is she more thankful than he? Well, because she realizes it's all. Amen. She realizes it's all forgiven. She realizes, wow, it's amazing what God has done for me. Once he realizes it, you know what he's going to do? He's going to fall down on his knees, and he's going to bow down, and he's going to thank the Lord. It doesn't matter how much sin you committed. I'm telling you today, when you get saved, it's all forgiven. Past, present, future. It's all forgiven. Every bit of it is forgiven. If 50 brings on judgment, the 50's forgiven. If 500 brings on judgment, then 500 is forgiven. If one brings on judgment, it's forgiven. If 1,000,000 brings judgment, it's forgiven. Let me ask you a question. Does it really matter what the number is? No. Most is all. And praise the Lord. You don't have to try to figure it out. You don't have to try to calculate. I haven't done too much. All have sinned and come short. If you're one short, if you're 1,000,000 short, you're short. Does it matter what the number is? Doesn't matter. The right attitude is this right here. I had a debt. I couldn't pay my debt. He paid and forgave my debt. What do I owe him? Can't pay him anything. We can't, there's no payment money. We can't reach in our wallet and say, here, or we can't even do that over our lifetime. What do I owe him? He didn't put a price on it. There's no price tag on this gift that he gave us. There is no debt. It's all been paid. He forgave the debt. And when you get saved, I promise you this, he forgives your sin just like he said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not might be saved. You shall be saved. There is no condition on that. There is no price tag on that. There is no bill that you're going to be sent. There is no invoice you're ever going to receive. It is paid. You say, well, what do I owe him then? Well, there's only one thing, and that's gratitude. It's simply gratitude. The right attitude. I owe him my thanks. That's what I owe him. Every Christian, you have nothing to complain about. Every Christian, we owe him everything. We can pay him nothing. And so what can we do? We can every day say, thank you, God. Every day throughout the day, thank you, God. Thank you for another day. Thank you for blessings. Thank you for this. Thank you. But most of all, no matter what valley I might be in, no matter how bad things are going, I owed a debt that I could not pay, and you paid it. Thank you. Thank you. And I want you to understand today, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, He paid. He paid the debt for you. It's a matter of you simply accepting that payment. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's a matter of you simply taking that gift. In a moment, we'll give an invitation and you'll have an opportunity to simply take that gift. Last Saturday, a week ago Saturday, talked to a man in his 70s dying of cancer. Probably won't be around very long, and he was a pretty tough guy. But it's amazing what cancer will do in your thinking. And I simply went through what I really, very simply, I said, sir, you owe a debt. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus died on the cross to pay that debt. And my friends, what an amazing thing. And what an amazing thing. And I said this to that, you know, you've heard this all your life. He said, yes, I have. I said, wouldn't you like to receive that gift that you've heard about all your life? And with tears in his eyes, he said, yes, I would. You say, you make it sound so simple. I didn't make it sound anything. God's the one that said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Wouldn't you like to receive that gift? Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed.